on Talking Horses Insider Insights.
Good morning, Seamus. How are you?
Very well, Joe.
Well, firstly, yesterday's racing around the nation, it was a shame there was a dampener on the Sydney track.
Yeah, it was. Look, obviously, there's, the shorts, I suppose, was a bit of a preview to the Everest and probably one of the more mouth-watering sort of races of the year. But obviously, a lot of scratchings took a little bit of the shine off, but still what I thought was an outstanding performance by Pierre. And I guess the fact that he's put that run on the board now would elevate him to just about the favourite for the Everest.
Yeah, and it's an interesting talking point to Pierrada's sire, Piero, who's been on fire since he's been at stud, Seamus. He, of course, has Pierrada likely now in the Everest. And what that's going to do for him as far as the sire's title goes in Australia is significant.
Yeah, look, these races, obviously massive prize money on the Everest and the Golden Eagle and these high prize money races and the effect they have on the sire's title. I am a traditionalist, and so personally my feel is that we perhaps need to navigate a new way of establishing our champion sire. I know it hasn't happened yet, but I do feel like there may be years now whereby the integrity of these things will be compromised, by maybe a stallion of lesser ability coming up with a horse that's capable of winning one or two of these races.
Yeah, and Piero is also likely to be represented by Arcadia Queen in the Everest. So the impact potentially of one of his horses winning a $14 million race like the Everest does place him in the box seat as far as the sire's title goes, which is currently determined by the amount of prize money a horse's progeny earns. How do you think it should be determined?
Oh, look, I think that obviously there's ways to start investigating it. I think maybe an average earning index could be one way. Look, I think that we generally reward black type, and we reward horses of the best quality. So, you know, obviously a percent of stakes winners to runners. There's a few different ways you could slice and dice it, but. It would be a shame to go away from prize money because I guess that is the traditional way of doing it. But if we feel, or if industry feels that that perhaps the results are going to be skewed from these things, might be something that needs to be discussed.
Mm. Seamus, to some other stallions that are in form at the moment, what about Toronado here in Australia? Really hit his straps, hasn't he, with another winner during the week at Sale, High Talk.
He is a horse really coming on the High Chaparral sideline, really has established itself now in Australia with Dundeal and So You Think and now Toronado. I mean, even in just regards strike rate of these High Chaparral stallions, it's been quite amazing. And Toronado looks to have really hit his straps now. I think he's got a number of promising horses for the spring. And look, I'd say by the end of the spring, his service fee is going to look very good value.
And internationally, American Pharoah had more success during the week with a winner in Japan, Seamus. Now, his first yearlings in Australia are due to hit the sales ring in 2020, and there's much anticipation around that. But interestingly, the majority of his winners around the world so far have been stakes horses. So he was not only a high-class racehorse himself and Triple Crown winner, but what a producer.
He's really starting to, I think, make Australians sit up and notice. Obviously with a number of turf performers, obviously that's always a question mark on American sires that go to stud. Exceptional racehorse. And we had a little taste of them, I guess, given the weanling sales next year. I thought they sold very well. Generally the weanling sales, I guess, are not the top end of a stallion's crop. And certainly if that was the case with American Pharoah, I think there's going to be some beautiful yearlings at the sales board next year. In particular, the traits I've seen in common with them is their ability to walk. I know people joke there's no walking laces, but you know, good walks sell yearlings, and I think buyers will see that with these American Pharaohs.
Another high-profile former racehorse and now top stallion, Frankel. He had a good winner yesterday in Sydney, Finch. We spoke at the top of the show with a part owner in the horse, Peter Tye. He looks set now for a Cups campaign.
And very well, obviously, in there last year. And if anything, I suppose these horses, you know, most trainers will tell you they improve as they acclimatise. Perhaps takes them a prep or two. And yesterday's performance, I thought was pretty impressive. You would have to say he's right on target. And having had that experience before, probably has to be considered now one of the genuine hopes.
And Seamus, interested in your opinion on what happened during the week, the controversy around Mystic Journey and the abuse that her trainer Adam Trinder copped from disgruntled punters after her defeat last Saturday and going down to 100-1 shot in Gatting. So I have my own firm fixed opinion about this, but I'd be interested firstly to get yours.
Oh, look, it's a great shame. You know, I guess in any sport now, social media has opened it up for people who, I don't know what's going on in their lives, but it's pretty much commonplace, isn't it? I mean, I follow all sorts of sports. I'm a bit of a sports nut, but if you're also on social media, people just feel like they can say and do whatever they want. But I guess that a lot of people in this case have taken a step too far to get in direct contact with the trainer is reprehensible. But it is the society we live in now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Do you think, though, the media plays its own role in propelling this type of behaviour as well by giving these anonymous trolls on the internet oxygen in the first place?
Yeah, well, look, it's I guess he came. You know, the story has got told, and in a case where media does spread the word, but I guess you know, in this case, the direct contact, I suppose, you know, seems to have shaken them enough to be telling the story, you know. But it's a great chance to see anyone upset. I mean, and first and foremost, I would have said that, you know, the one thing the media needs to do more is to make the horse the hero. And I don't think that people feel, you know, sort of connected enough. The idea that people on the punt, which is obviously an enormous part of our industry and very important, but the horse needs to be hero, and hopefully you would teach a few more of these people to have respect for the animal.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the media presentation generally can tend to be a bit too focused on the form and the punt. And as you well acknowledge, it is a hugely important part of the industry and the backbone of it. But there are many other good talking points and ways to analyse an outcome of a race, the performance of a horse, and it doesn't have to just be about the punt. But anyway, it's happened, and hopefully we can all move on and Mystic Journey comes out next start and absolutely wallops them, and those punters that were incensed are silenced. Anything else you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
No, look, I just wanted to... The only other thing I'd say is the Chamadale Sireline will hit Australian shores in full force the next couple of years. I think the performance of the year almost was Godolphin's two-year-old in Europe, Pinatorbo, which I had to Google, is named after a volcano, active volcano. I thought it was an unbelievable performance. He won a Group 1 by 8-10 lengths. He's got an amazing action, this horse. You wouldn't think you'd see another Frankel as quickly as this. And obviously this horse is not there yet, but it was the performance of the year so far. And now Godolphin have probably three Sons of Chamadale all destined to shuttle to Australia with Earth Light and Blue Note. So get your matings ready.
Yeah, and Charlie Appleby was in awe of the horse's performance at the Curra, and now he'll likely run in the Dewhurst Stakes at Newmarket on October 12.
He's an amazing animal. I haven't seen a mechanical sort of action like his since Frankel, and this stage unbeaten. Doesn't look to be much over there that will threaten that either.
Seamus, great to have you on Talking Horses this morning. Just as a side note, Taylor Swift, how devastated are you that she's not coming out for the Melbourne Cup week?
I can honestly say I'm very devastated. I thought it was a brilliant coup, and even if only done for publicity and so on, I thought it was really an amazingly good job for them to get it done. It's a shame it's gone down in flames, and I would have been in the front row.
Her cancellation certainly set tongues wagging, hasn't it?
Well, look, it's even for the publicity, I guess it had some effect. But I think, as I said, I think it's a great show. I was a huge fan.
All right, Seamus, you have a great week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's Seamus Mills joining us for Insider Insights this week on Talking Horses.